You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Coming up as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, we are going to talk with Chuck Yergurin and Dan Hamas from the American Rivers Conference about all the hardships that Division III and the ARC is going through as far as the fight against the spread of the coronavirus and COVID-19. We will talk with those folks coming up in just a little bit and take you through what we can as far as the weekend in sports virtually is concerned. That and a whole lot more with Scott and Mark taking you through the 3 o'clock hour right here on KGYM. It is the Gym Class for a Monday on KGYM, brought to you by Hennings Financial Incorporated. They are a local Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm focused on your retirement journey. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. Find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com. And a big thanks to Hennings Financial for helping us out here on the Gym Class program. As we get into a brand new week, our third week of isolation here. Governor Kim Reynolds, just a little bit ago with her daily briefing, reiterated the fact, please, everyone, heed all of the basic tenets out there as far as using your head, staying inside, encourages businesses to keep on the practice as far as staying at home and doing your work that way is concerned. So you can find out more. There's a lot of that as far as many of the news organizations out on Twitter. And if anything breaks, we'll let you know right here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you here from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, about a mile and a half away. Mr. Mark Dukes on his back porch on a beautiful Monday. Where was this yesterday, Mark?
That's true. We could have gotten out and maybe played a little golf, at least got out in the fresh air, but we'll take today. I've been out walking around the patio. That's about it. But it feels good to have that sun in your face. You know what I mean?
Oh, it does. It does. And I plan on gonna have to take the little dog for a walk here, I think, when I get home. That's gonna be first and foremost what we're gonna do coming up later on today. So, see, I already got my evening planned. We'll see how that goes until he sees a squirrel and then goes absolutely nutso out there, or another dog, whatever the case may be. You can reach us on the First Federal Credit Union text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Find out more on our website at kgymradio.com. And a big thanks to everybody, Dan and everybody at First Federal for helping us out. Tom, Dan, the entire crew couldn't do without their help as well here today. And we encourage you to interact with us at 319-366-1600.
Yeah, we know it's been tough on our sponsors as well. And we appreciate what we have now and what we have had in the past. And hopefully sooner than later, then we'll get by this and we can reacquaint and get back to normal business. But as it is right now, more events being postponed because of the virus. The Principal Charity Classic, a Champions Tour golf event in Des Moines, originally scheduled May 26th through 31. That has now been pushed back to September 1.
Hey, September!
Through 6. At this point, we'll take September sports, right?
Yeah, we'll take sports at any And it's not like I've lost faith or things like that. If you don't have your faith, I guess I don't know what you have at this point. I sounds like on Wednesday the next big domino is going to fall, and that is going to be Wimbledon, which doesn't start until June the 28th. But it sounds like at least reports coming out of Germany and the German Tennis Federation is that that Wimbledon is going to have the plug pulled. And again, that is not till June. June the 28th.
Yeah, that's kind of sobering news, but not surprising. It's an international event, and it is in England. But we're going to continue to make these adjustments, and I think you and I have pledged between ourselves not to, you know, spread all the doom and gloom out there. You can go to plenty of news channels and TV, radio, whatnot, and get that if that's what you want. You want to be depressed about, and agreed. There's plenty of anxiety out there, and pray that everybody deals with that just fine. But you know, I think our pledge, Scott, for as long as we can, is to inform you and entertain you and do the best we can with the guests that we can line up and make the best of it in the meantime.
Indeed. That's what we're going to try to do here again today. A little bit of sports news as far as Eastern Iowa is concerned. Good news for Iowa wrestling. Spencer Lee won the Hodge Trophy as the nation's top college wrestler. The top honor as far as college. It's the Heisman of college wrestling is what it is. And he got all but five of the votes as far as the Hodge Trophy is concerned, which puts people in a cantankerous mood today on a 60-degree sunny Monday. The other votes went to Colin Moore of Ohio State. He got three of the votes. This, according to KJ Pilcher, does a great job covering wrestling from the Gazette. Ryan Deacon of Northwestern got one, and Shane Griffith of Stanford got the other votes. Those are the ones that KJ knows of, and he put that out on Twitter a little bit earlier today. But only the third, believe it or not, the third Hawkeye wrestler to pick up the Hodge Award, which is a little bit interesting.
It's very much as, Spencer Lee getting 52 of the 57 first place votes, as you outlined. And this award goes to the most dominant wrestler of the year. And Spencer Lee outscored his opponents, get this, 234-18.
Ooh.
And I'd have to remind people that of those 18 points he gave up, he probably released the wrestler. Wouldn't you say more than half the time? I don't know. So it was even more dominant than that. And you mentioned he is the third to win this award. Our friend Mark Ironside, the first Iowa wrestler to win the award in 1998, and Brent Metcalf in 2008. Of course, Cale Sanderson won back-to-back Hodge trophies during his career at Iowa State.
Yes, he did. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in and congratulate Spencer Lee and Iowa Wrestling for picking up the Hodge Award. As not a real big surprise as far as that is concerned. Also, over the weekend, we had our the only thing going on right now is basically esports. That's what we have at this point. Both of the major racing sanctioning bodies, I guess, the biggest two anyway, as far as the United States are concerned, had e-races, iRacing, virtual races over the weekend, IndyCar at Watkins Glen on Saturday, and then NASCAR had their second televised race, if you will, yesterday. Congratulations to Landon Cassill, who finished fourth yesterday. I thought he had third, but it was fourth. He ended up fourth yesterday. And by the way, we are going to speak with Landon on Wednesday. He is going to join us and reveal all the secrets as far as virtual sports are concerned and iRacing.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because I think a lot of these drivers are very involved in esports. I think I read that Timmy Hill, the winner, who doesn't do much in the actual races.
Well, he's handcuffed, though.
Over 500 or 600 wins.
Yes, he's handcuffed, though.
Sure. But in esports, he's got like over 500 or 600 wins.
Yep.
You know, so obviously takes a slightly different skill. Well, and good equipment.
Yes, and a level playing field. It's the biggest situation there. And even as far as Timmy Hill's rig, if you would, he doesn't have a, you know, $500,000 rig or whatnot like Denny Hamlin has or things, people like that. He's got a about a $150 yoke wheel that he attaches to his desk and one monitor, and away he goes. And he won the race yesterday. So congratulations to Timmy Hill, who got the victory. He was one virtual race win. Maybe can put him in a ride. Who knows? If there's a silver lining as far as the virtual racing is concerned, maybe that's it. Also going to have the start of what virtual Madden is going to be coming up here in the next couple of weeks, with football players doing that. I don't know if that's going to be quite as exciting as the racing is concerned, but we'll see. I don't know. We've mentioned
well,
it.
It's an
go ahead.
Yeah, it's an attempt to fill the void, certainly. What else are you watching? I mean, there's been radio and television broadcasts of old NCAA tournament games. You've heard them right here on KGYM, and you'll hear more on the weekend. Many channels doing classic baseball games, which have been kind of fun. It doesn't really replace, live actual sports. Golf is replaying tournaments from on the weekend from a year ago, 2 years ago, what have you. But this is where we're at right now. And I suppose esports is trying to get a slice of the pie right now.
Right. And who knows? Who knows how it's going to play out? Esports, like we talked about last week, may be, when we look back at this, hopefully in a couple of years, may be the big winner. Read a lot of articles over the weekend as far as what the quote-unquote new norm is going to be as far as just life in society in general over the weekend. And one of the things talked about in sports was the emergence of esports and how that is going to be a big factor. Not only the gaming aspect of it, but also as far as sports we have seen, the racing, the basketball, the football with the Madden and things like that. I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. But every time there's a crisis like that, we kind of emerge with some new techniques and just new ways as far as Americana is concerned. Just the way we kind of roll with things here. So we will see. We will see.
I don't. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't know that a guy like me is gonna buy in. I'd probably rather clean my closet than do something like that. But, and that day's coming, believe me. I get what you're saying, and I think there's some truth to it.
Well, and I want to ask this of Landon on Wednesday when we talk with Landon Castle about this. I get the fact that NASCAR right now doesn't have racing. I get that. But just to break down this e-racing like they are right now, I know they have to fill programming. I know they have to do that. But, you know, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher.
Well, they're trying to make it as real as possible. And Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon and Larry McReynolds and those guys, full disclosure, I watched quite a bit of the first race. I barely caught a snippet of the race yesterday. But, the visual, they're trying to make it as realistic as possible. And I suppose the commentators are trying to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trying to make it as realistic as possible. 319-366-1600. That is First Federal Credit Union text line out there if you'd like to weigh in here at 317. A few minutes away from talking with Chuck Yergren and Dan Hammes from the American Rivers Conference. Going to talk about how they are coping with no sports going on right now at the local level as far as Division III. Also, this is first day, Mark, of discussions going on as far as the NCAA is concerned about eligibility, which is going to be a huge question and maybe the biggest question as far as how this is all going to play out. There are so many questions out there as far as college sports are concerned. Are seniors going to be able to come back from the winter sports? How are things going to play out as far as the spring sports are concerned, as far as roster limits are concerned, if, as anticipated, seniors are going to get an extra year of eligibility? Everyone's going to get an extra year of eligibility. There are a lot of things to go over as far as the NCAA is concerned.
No doubt about it. The NCAA Division I Council was scheduled to vote today over eligibility relief. I have not seen anything new in that regard, and whether that will come out today or be postponed, we shall see. I'd be very, very, very surprised if winter athletes get another year of eligibility because, and this is unfortunate, they didn't have their NCAA basketball tournament, they didn't have their NCAA wrestling tournament, whatnot. Basically completed 95% of the season. Didn't get that last 5%, which is probably the most important part of the season. But what about those teams and wrestlers who didn't even qualify for the postseason? They completed their season. So I don't know that winter sports athletes are going to get that relief. Now, the spring sports, I think, have a better chance.
Absolutely.
Although many of them had begun their seasons. I read today the Iowa softball team already had 22 games in. The Iowa baseball team got three trips and were well underway in that season. So we're going to wait on this news, and then we'll talk to Chuck and Dan about this. What about Division III athletes?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. That's a whole different ball game because there's no scholarships. And would they have to go to school? I mean, how would that all work to give those spring athletes another year of eligibility at the Division III level?
Many of the questions that we're going to go over with Chuck and Dan coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a break, come back, and have more of the gym class for this Monday here on KGYM. Don't forget, since we can't dine in, let's all dine out. Curbside pickup, delivery, drive-through, they are still options at many restaurants in the Iowa City, Cedar Rapids area. We have a lot of those listed at our website at kgymradio.com. Please go out there and thank them for staying open through this particular crisis here. And we thank you for listening here on Terrestrial Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 107.5, the Jim OT in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. Also, of course, at kgymradio.com. The skills on your Alexa as well. However you are picking us up, we do appreciate your patronage out there. We're going to take a break, come back, and have more for you right after this on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM.
At Network Computer Solutions, we understand these are unprecedented times. First, we hope you and your family are well. And second, we want you to know we are here and will continue to offer IT support. If you need remote access to your office, we can assist with that. We will be taking all recommended precautions to keep our employees safe and will provide remote assistance whenever possible. Call us at Network Computer Solutions, 319-247-7223.
Here's important information from the Iowa Department of Public Health. COVID-19 is spreading in Iowa. More Iowans will become ill. Most will have only mild or moderate illness. These people may not need to be tested. If you need to see a medical provider, call first. Don't just walk into the clinic. All ill Iowans should stay isolated at home until they don't have a fever for at least 3 days. Their cough or shortness of breath have improved, and it's been at least 7 days since symptoms started. Questions? Call the COVID-19 info line at 211. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
Update the look of your home's exterior with help from Menards. TimberCrest Premium Double 4-inch siding has a natural wood grain appearance and is 15% thicker than standard vinyl siding. Backed by a 25-year fade-resistant warranty, TimberCrest vinyl siding can withstand strong winds up to 216 miles per hour. In 9 colors, they're on sale for $6.58 per piece. Now, during Menards' Spring Savings Sale, prices are good through Saturday, April 11th.
Save big money at Menards. You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 6 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design.
324 back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Unash with you here in studio. Mark Dukes from his sunshiny porch, back porch, on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 60, wait, is it 60 today? I think we hit the
big... That's the last I saw, Scott. You bet.
Man, beautiful day. Get out, at least take a little walk, a little stroll, while practicing social distancing. I should mention that as well. But if you can get out today, be a great day to do so. Going to talk with two friends of the program, Chuck Uhrgren and Dan Hammes from the American Rivers Conference. And they're joining us from... I'm not sure where you guys are. One of you at the office, one not at the office. I don't know. How's it going, guys?
We're from the home offices in North Liberty for me, and Dan's at an undisclosed location, but maybe he'll disclose it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hanging out in Marion, Iowa, at my home office as well.
Excellent, and of course Dan, because Dan's got a little one, I know, so. You've got that to deal with on top of everything.
Yeah, that provides some unique challenges in the work from home situation. Luckily, my wife is a fourth grade teacher, so she is at home as well. So we're able to kind of split duties, and she definitely takes the bulk of that. But that school system's navigating their own challenges. But yeah, it's something to get adjusted to.
Chuck and Dan, thanks for joining us. As Scott said, I want to get into the meat of your decision. It came back on March 13th, the President's Council's decision actually to cancel all spring sports in the American Rivers Conference. And in perspective, I note that that was 2 days after Rudy Gobert of the NBA tested positive for the coronavirus. And it was 5 days after the Johnson County cases were announced. What went into that decision rather than say, well, let's see how it's going to go, but the decision that was made by the President's Council?
I mean, I do think the NBA situation was somewhat of a game changer. I think that once that action was taken, the NCAA then announced, we were getting ready for a Division III wrestling championship at the Cell Center. And, as I had said to a couple other people, the NCAA staff person who was there was very cautious the entire day. And so that made us a little suspicious as to what might happen, on that Thursday. And then sure enough, middle of the afternoon on Thursday, he gets the call that NCAA championships were canceled for the rest of the winter and spring. And so then we gathered our presidents by conference call on Friday morning, and it was a good discussion. We did talk about the possibility of doing some, end of season stuff, regardless of the NCAA's decision to not hold their championships, that we would, maybe think about, riding it out for a little bit and seeing if we could do some end of the season stuff, like a full a full conference softball tournament or a full conference baseball tournament. We already had our track and field championships and some of other things in place. And there was a good discussion, I think, among the group. And really, I think where they came down was, you know, a lot of unanswered questions about practice protocols and other things, you know, and then just, you know, also at that point to just give everybody a sense of clarity as to where we were, as opposed to, you know, going with a, well, maybe we can just, you know, let this go and see what, you know, see where we can, you know, see if anything improves or if, you know, if circumstances change, et cetera. And I think at that point, you know, they felt like being clear was the best way to go. At that point, there were probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 Division III conferences that had made the decision either to cancel the rest of their seasons or to postpone for a period, for a time period, and set that time period. And in a matter of days, that number went from, you know, mid 20s who were sort of, well, I mean, there were probably 10 of us that were decided at that point. It went, I mean, it just, you know, went crazy, like, you know, like the virus goes crazy. These numbers went crazy, and we, you know, we got to a situation where just a few days later, that number of conferences that had decided to cancel for the year was probably in the mid 30s. Mm. So it was, I mean, obviously a, you know, terribly tough decision. You know, the, you know, seeing those young men, they're probably, I don't know, Dan can talk a little bit about it. You know, probably, I don't know, 40 wrestlers, maybe 50 wrestlers in the arena. At that point, most of the work, you know, most of the teams had come in and done their warm-ups. But, you know, it was just, it was a devastating sight to see, you know, the reactions of some of those kids, you know, in some cases stunned, in other cases, I mean, absolutely crestfallen. It was tough. We had just been keeping our heads down the entire day and thinking, well, whatever happens, happens. We got to keep, you know, we got to keep going as if we're going to be starting to wrestle that next morning at 11 o'clock, and it didn't happen. So it was a tough day for all of us professionally, just because of the amount of work that everybody put in to, you know, to do the event. And then, you know, additionally, the, you know, the decision the next morning to pull the plug on everything, you know, all of our conference stuff as well.
True, true. And guys, as far as Division III is concerned, and we've said it so many times, and ironically enough, it's once again almost Division III week, which we would have celebrated, if you will. Still can celebrate Division III week with all the student athletes involved as far as that is concerned. But this is not your you know, seven-figure football money coming in. This is basically, and we've said it before, athletes playing things they love to do and they've been doing since they were 7 and 8 for the love of the game. And it almost makes it even harder to accept this, I would imagine, with the coaches as well as the athletes.
I'll let Dan go with that one since he was one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's a lot of investment that goes on all fronts from these student athletes and at all divisions, 1, 2, and 3. But as you noted there, these individuals are devoting time in the classroom, on their in the gym, court, whatever their sport may be. And to have that yanked away from you and possibly your final year, really any of them, whether you're a first year or a senior, but especially those seniors, that's hard to swallow. Division III, I heard both of you talking a little bit earlier about the decision that's coming down from Division I today. Division III already came out about a week ago, I believe it was, and on the exact date, and said that they were granting all seniors an extra year of eligibility. There are obviously some big factors that go into that when you are not on scholarship and you're having to factor in coming back and financing potentially an additional year, or if you're using some of the exceptions that are allowed in the rule book, you know, you could start a second undergraduate degree, start your graduate degree, or use a final semester quarter exemption that would allow you to be enrolled in less than full time during the spring. But that means that you cannot be with your team during the fall portion of the non-traditional season. So yeah, there's a lot of layers that goes into this on the emotional front, and then the practical front moving forward if these student athletes choose to use that final year of eligibility exception.
And also,
Go ahead, Chuck. I'm sorry.
Just what you were saying about, you know, whether people were going to be allowed to attend and not, you know, not be in class. I mean, I think that was something that, you know, was at least, you know, from the outside might be something, you know, that would be an additional accommodation. There's been no indication that I'm aware of in Division III, and really no indication otherwise. I mean, I don't know whether Division I will do something in this area or not, but right now you would still have to maintain the eligibility, the basic eligibility rules, which, as Dan said, means either being full-time enrolled or using a last semester exception, which I think there are a number of spring sport athletes in Division III nationally who probably dropped classes, to then be able to come back next spring, you know, as part-time students, if you will, or less than full-time students, and, you know, and be able to use that piece of eligibility. So, you know, there are some eligibility rules in Division III are a little more student athlete friendly because of the lack of the athletic scholarship and I think the fundamental, you know, hope that an individual is going to be able to use his or her eligibility. So a little bit more flexibility, I think, for Division III, but it comes at a price for sure.
Yeah, this is for both of you. Chuck, from the standpoint of what we've been talking about just now, the likelihood that some of your member schools and their athletes will take advantage of an extra year. And then, Dan, say you were a senior, and your season or the bulk thereof was taken away from you, how likely would you have decided to come back? Chuck first.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go to Dan first, and now I completely lost my train of thought.
Oh, we go to Dan first.
Yeah, I could take the first one. I could tell you when I was 21, 22 and graduated, if that would have happened, I would have absolutely come back. Now down the road a little ways, if you have a job lined up and a good career opportunity, there's some things that, you know, you start to factor into that decision, that it becomes a little bit more challenging. But my 21, 22 year old self, I would have had no doubt that I would have come back to do that. You know, I'll add another layer into this for you guys, and you probably have discussed some of this already. I think I heard you touch on it earlier a little bit. One of the things, though, you know, you have a senior come back. They had their senior year cut short, which is extremely unfortunate and sad. But you potentially have a junior right now, a current junior that has been waiting their turn, putting in their time to hopefully perform next year and get an opportunity. Well, that senior that's ahead of them comes back, and then now the junior doesn't have an opportunity. So on and so forth with the sophomore, the freshman, you know, so it's just a challenging situation all around. Because someone, for lack of a better analogy here, someone gets the short end of the stick, potentially, with all of this.
And I think we're hearing different things from different schools as far as how many people are, you know, how many folks are coming back. I've heard some stories of, you know, of programs that are saying, you know, yeah, we had all of our seniors are talking about, you know, dropping the class and, you know, coming back next spring and, you know, being enrolled less than full time. You know, some of our schools have some limitations that you're not actually allowed to enroll or take classes towards a second degree. That's the post-baccalaureate option for extending eligibility. A lot of our schools don't have graduate schools, so that's another option for extending eligibility. And so, you know, I think it just differs by school. And also, you know, I'll bet some of that depends on how big the senior class might be as well. Like if there's a big senior class on one team, and you know those ladies or guys are, you know, really feeling like they're a, you know, kind of a little army, that, you know, that they, you know, might feel like they're coming back. If I'm the only senior or one of two seniors, you know, maybe I'm not as likely to come back. But Dan brings up a really good point that, you know, this is going to set off kind of a chain reaction in teams. I think that, you know, the freshmen, sophomores and juniors, they also lost out on the year. So, you know, they may decide to kind of re-roadmap their academic careers so that they can take full advantage of, you know, of 4 years worth of athletics participation. So, yeah, it's certainly muddied the waters for a lot of people. Most notably, our most precious commodity, and that's the young men and women who choose to pay to go to our schools and play.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Yerger and Dan Hammes from the American Rivers Conference joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM as we come up on 3:40 here. And wanted to just touch upon this a little bit. And it's only March the 30th, and there's no roadmap. And we've been talking about that the last 2.5 weeks or so here on this program. We don't know what's going to happen. You guys don't know what's going to happen. The athletic directors, the presidents don't know what's going to happen. And that's at the Division III level, the Division II level, the Division I level. You've got to go out there and you've got to make a lot of contingency plans. And I would imagine, and that's looking toward the fall now. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but you guys got to come up with plan A through what? Plan M right now?
Right. Yeah. Interesting. I was just on a call with NCAA staff and our Division III Executive Committee of the commissioners, and you know there were some you know, some pointed questions about the fall. And yes, I think we are getting to a point where, as a conference, we probably going to have to, you know, have more serious discussions about timelines and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. I get the impression that, at least from a Division III leadership standpoint, that the folks in Indianapolis are taking a very optimistic and, you know, forward thinking, meaning forward that we are going to be able to get back in the fall. But, you know, a lot can change either way, depending on, you know, on the medical advice and the medical implications of what's going to happen. But yeah, you're right that, you know, we're probably getting to a time where you have to start thinking about pull the plug dates and that kind of thing. And, you know, we're in a, you know, in private education in particular, we're in an even more kind of tenuous position in that, you know, the retention piece is such a huge part of what we've got going. And, you know, to be able to, you know, to then say to, you know, a group of fall sport athletes that, you know, that they're not going to be able to compete, you know, what is that going to mean for the future of enrollment and retention and whatnot? So I think, you know, maybe in that way, we're a little more, we're way different than Division I. I'm sure they have their retention concerns as well, but, you know, for us, it's kind of a lifeblood thing. So the, you know, the decisions that we're just hoping that medically that everything, you know, can be somewhat, like everybody, that everything can be somewhat contained, and that we can, you know, at some point here, I'm not even going to pick dates, but that we'll be able to, you know, focus on fall competition. But a lot has to happen between now and whatever that date is.
Guys, I'm curious about recruiting among your member schools. It kind of hits home a little bit. I've got a grandson who had, a half a dozen visits to football programs, either postponed or canceled. And I want you to speak on that situation, but it dawned on me that recruiting could be very well impacted as well. What have you heard?
Dan, anyway, yeah, it's definitely been impacted. I can't say that I have spoken to every sport at all of our institutions, but a handful here and there, and instituting virtual tours and still trying to make the visit happen. But just as we're doing here via a call in or Zoom meeting or whatever other video service is out there, a lot of our institutions are still trying to conduct visits via virtual tours and interactions. The recruiting restrictions that I've seen for Division One and Two have not taken place in Division Three, as you guys may know that the recruiting kind of takes place all year round for Division Three. Mm-hmm. There is no dead period for Division Three coaches. So yeah, they're still trying to make the communications that they can make throughout the year, and then trying to get the real life touch points that they can, given the circumstances we're in.
How hard is it, guys, when, let's just say, just for argument's sake, 6 weeks, 8 weeks down the line, everything looks good. The curve has been whatever it needs to do to get out there. How tough is it going to be, A, to have that first athletic event, not only here but around the country? I just can't even fathom that right now, because I think there's going to be a lot of blowback no matter when it is going to be. But and then how is it going to be moving on? Is there going to be a new norm? Are we going to see provisions made as far as a more sanitary just everything up and down the line, no matter what sport it is.
Yep. I think SSI, which is the Sports Science Institute, is probably going to have to get this. That's the NCAA Sports Science Institute that's done a lot of the work in concussion and some of the other student athlete, mental health, some of the other student athlete, welfare issues. I think, they're going to be challenged to come up with probably recommended, guidelines. Is the post game handshake going to go away?
Yeah.
The pre game handshake, I would say, that's probably done. And when you see basketball teams, go up and down the line with a post game handshake, is that going to be, as something that's going to maybe stop the spread. I'm talking about forever. These are things that are just going to, happen. And so, I'm not downplaying or diminishing our brand of athletics, but we are somewhat fortunate in that, in our venues, you can get distance. There are certainly some events that are going to sell out, but for the most part, when you come to our events, you can get social distancing as part of that could be part of another permanent feature of, if you have that option that people are going to not congregate in certain areas. So I think the Sports Science Institute is really going to have a lot of work to do with regard to, even if a curve does flatten in the next 2 weeks, with regard to, what's going to happen at venues. And, clearly, Kinnick Stadium is a way different animal than anything we've got going. And so those decisions for the mass gathering, events are going to be critical. Whereas, with us, I think we probably have a little bit better situation with regard to event management. And I do think that some of these traditions are, may go away forever. So it's changing all of our lives in almost every way possible. So
very much so.
Yeah, I think Chuck hit on all the points right there. I mean, some of our norms and our everyday life that we knew are probably changing forever, and in the sports world that we've come to know, and I think are probably going to change forever. Obviously, not doctors here and can't predict what the recommendations will be going, you know, forward, but based on what we've seen thus far, it seems like that's something in that that area will come down for sure.
Indeed.
I want to ask one last question, and that is, you look at all the various sports that you offer. Football is different than tennis, and wrestling is different than golf. Are there some sports that you could really go ahead and compete?
I mean, you know, at first we heard the wrestling championship is probably in as good a position as any event because of all of the additional, sanitary steps that are taken, cleaning the mats, skin checks, et cetera. But now when you think about even, you know, I don't know whether a tennis ball is going to, you know, is carrying a virus. A baseball is certainly more of a hard surface than a tennis ball. But, even though those folks are on different sides of the net, you know, they're still exchanging, at least sweat on a ball. I did see that. I think they're still recommending, maybe it was Brian Hainline, who's the chief medical officer for the NCAA, still, very much not recommending any kind of sport where there's a ball and it's being, you know, passed around among, you know, different student athletes because of the possibility of exchanging, you know, or transmitting the virus on that. So I don't know. I mean, you would think that, you know, if you looked at it sort of, you know, as far as contact and whatnot, but I mean, when you get into these, when you think about it even more, there is probably in most or all sports some degree of, you know, sweat or some chance that, that the virus is going to, or that a virus could be transmitted on some part of the playing equipment, some more than others, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of questions that need to be answered, certainly, about that. And, guys, appreciate it. And I know I speak for everybody, just keep the heads high, and hopefully we'll get through this. And we will be looking ahead to a great fall in the American Rivers Conference starting up in August with some football. So hopefully that's around the corner for us.
Same to both of you, and thanks for your continued work on the local scene. And I'm sure it's been a major challenge for you all to put on a sports show when there's not much sports stuff to go on. So, if you're going to give us the captain speech, we'll give it right back to you. Thanks for everything you do, and we'll continue to do.
All right, Chuck, Dan, thanks to both of you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Chuck Uergen, Dan Hammes from the there I did it, Mark. I almost got through the whole thing. The American Rivers Conference has, a lot of questions. And that's at this is at the Division III level for a half hour. And we probably could have gone another 45 minutes with questions. And this is, you know, I hate to shuffle Division III off or something like that, but you and I and everybody out there listening knows that we're not even dealing with, you know, multi-trillion-dollar television contracts that we have to deal with as far as the NCAA is concerned. This is at the Division III level that we're talking about here.
Yeah, excuse me, it's quite a different animal. There's no question about that in many regards, but I think the discussion with Chuck and Dan was very fruitful. I thought it was interesting. And from the standpoint of what goes on at that level, you know, there's plenty of area, local and area athletes who either have gone to Division III schools, either here locally or somewhere across the American Rivers Conference or Midwest Conference, and very interested in what's happening at that level. And appreciate Chuck and Dan passing along our thoughts.
Indeed. We're overdue for a break. We'll come back. We'll let you know. We got another interesting show coming up tomorrow. We'll let you know about that and a couple other news and notes, and we return after this. Gym Class coming your way on this Monday here on KGYM.
The City of Cedar Rapids Solid Waste and Recycling Division is working to limit the spread of coronavirus. You can help. Use small bags rather than full size so more garbage fits in your garbie, and place extra bags with the garbage sticker visible to the driver on top. Keep bags that don't fit until next time. Only recycling inside your Kirby will be collected. Flatten items to get more in. No extra recycling boxes now. And glass collection has been suspended, so wait until it resumes. Get updates at cityofcr.com. Thank you from the City of Cedar Rapids Solid Waste and Recycling Division.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Introducing a new podcast, ESPN Daily. Hosted by me, Mina Kimes. When you want to go beyond your feed, when you want to get inside the score, when you want to get behind the highlight, there's ESPN Daily. Go deeper into the stories of the moment. Get the exclusive access and insider perspective that only ESPN can give you. The best sports story all day, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week. ESPN Daily. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and wheat thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
5-Hour Energy is energy on the go. But what if you're not going anywhere for a while? Then 5-Hour Energy is energy for getting stuff done while you're stuck at home. Like doing an honest day's work for your boss. Getting rid of old clothes.
My old bell bottoms.
Scouring the grout in your shower. Working out on that old stationary bike. And so much more. Go to the store or order online at shop5hourenergy.com. 5-Hour Energy. Energy for hunkering down.
Capital One Quicksilver Card Show.
Cut, cut, cut! The Capital One Quicksilver Card is simple. No need for a whole song and dance. Don't be sad. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. That's the spirit. The Capital One Quicksilver Card is simple, unlimited 1.5% cash back. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Back on the gym class for this Monday here at KGYM. Again, our thanks to Chuck Yergren and Dan Hammes from the American Rivers Conference. We're going to continue this talk coming up tomorrow, Mark, and we're going to do it on the high school level. One of our athletic directors, activity directors from the metro area, Aaron Stecker from over at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, is going to join us tomorrow and talk about what the high schools are going through. As far as no school and no contact with spring coaches, no spring sports going on right now. So going to talk about that at the high school level coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I look forward to our chat with Aaron. Great guy, and he's really on top of things like most of the athletic directors are. And high school is an entirely different animal. These seniors, should they lose a spring season, aren't going to get that back. So in that regard alone, it's different than what we talked about with Chuck and Dan at the Division III level.
It is. And, just as far as that is concerned, Brent Cook, the athletic director over at Dubuque Senior High School, of course, member of the Mississippi Valley Conference. Also, he and the other MVC athletic directors today, he had this on Twitter a little bit earlier on today. They met with the executive directors of both the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Girls High School Athletic Union through a call today. And he reports, if possible, and that is if possible, both the executive directors state their overall goal is to have some sort of spring and summer season. However, However, the big unknown is if and when school returns. That's the big unknown. And they're not going to do anything to, of course, jeopardize any student athletes as far as the high schools are concerned. But at least that part has not been ditched yet. As far it could be a very short spring season. Summer sports, softball and baseball, slated to get underway in about a week. As far as official practices are concerned. So they have not given up yet on that. But as we talked about with Chuck and Dan, the curve has to go down. That's the first thing that has to happen.
Yeah, we knew that there was some discussion with athletic directors at the state level in terms of what their preferences are in terms of canceling the season or shortening it. And this is one more fluid situation. There's no question now that we're going to continue what we've been doing through the end of April. That means no school, I'm sure, through the end of April. So we already know it's going to be short enough the way it is as far as spring sports. So it's a wait and see situation.
Track assignments are out there, and golf assignments came out last week, the spring sports. And like we talked about with Chuck and Dan, you got to go through you got to make sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And hopefully we'll have a little bit of a spring season out there for the high schools, because they cannot come back next year if you're a senior. And already a lot of things missing as far as their senior years are concerned. So we'll talk with Aaron about that coming up tomorrow on the program. And then Landon Castle will join us coming up on Wednesday. Talk about his iRacing career and other things with Landon. We'll do that. Mark, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great, Scott.
All right. Talk to everybody tomorrow at 3. Todd coming your way next on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KK.